May 8, 1973. Stand down at Wounded Knee. For 71 days, we had held out against an army of U.S. Marshals, FBI, a corrupt tribal chairman's private gang of thugs called the Goons, and a bunch of vigilantes, cowboys, and ranchers eager to bag themselves an engine. Elements of the 82nd Airborne had been standing by in the vicinity, just in case they should be needed. The feds had brought against us a swarm of armored cars, an occasional jet fighter to get a look at us, 50-caliber machine guns, M79 grenade launchers, high-powered searchlights, and Snoopy, their helicopter, to spy on us. We had killed our last steer. We were down to one meal a day, sometimes a meal every other day. We had only rice and beans left, and even that was running out. No flour, no sugar, no cigarettes. Gladys Bissonette had found a can of some fatty seasoning used to make popcorn and a box of powdered spuds. She mixed these together with some odds and ends and managed to make a meal of it. We still had some root tea for the warriors. That was it. Our lifeline had been the few miles between Porcupine and Wounded Knee, a sparsely wooded area that gave some cover to our runners who brought supplies to us in their backpacks every night. But now the whole place was full of marshals with sniper scopes and infrared night vision scopes, non-barking attack dogs, and tripwire flares, which could turn night into day. On top of that, the feds had started huge brush fires to burn off the cover, making it easier for them to detect anyone going in or out. Supplies were down to a pitiful trickle. Starvation was staring us in the face. Almost every day now, we had fierce firefights. The feds fired thousands of rounds at us. At night, their tracer bullets made a big show, crisscrossing the village from all directions. We were almost out of ammo. Our guys were down to about 10 bullets per man. A good many of our warriors had been wounded. Miraculously, only two had been killed. Frank Clearwater had been sleeping inside the Sacred Heart Church when a bullet crashed through the wall and hit him in the head. He never woke up. Buddy Lamont, a 31-year-old Vietnam veteran, was killed near the last stand bunker. He had been pinned down by a sniper, rose up to see where the shots were coming from, and was hit. His death was a terrible shock for us, particularly for Kamuk, my sweetheart, who was Buddy's niece. We tried to get to him, but the Fed's fire was so fierce that it took us 2 hours to recover his body. He had been shot through the heart. His body was still warm when I touched it. The pain for us was very deep. Buddy's death was the end. Negotiations went on for a few days more, but we knew that it was over. The end had come. We had to surrender. Of the resistance leadership, besides me, only Carter Camp remained at the knee, alongside our spiritual leaders, the medicine men Leonard Crow Dog and Wallace Black Elk.